The internet was abuzz within about 2 hours of the shooting at Northern Illinois University last Thursday. We didn't yet know anything, aside from the sketchiest details about the shooting itself. But when one poster asked the seemingly rhetorical question, why, others were quick to offer answers. Key among them, a society that glamorizes violence in film, in song, and in video games. As I write this, the investigation continues, and no one in authority has yet dared to answer the why question absolutely. Those in charge have said only that the shooter had stopped taking medication and that his actions had become erratic. But it's revealing how quickly some rush to link real life's devastating violence and incredible tragedy with pretend violence. After all, when one popular video game contains, according to one reviewer whose words were published in the Los Angeles Times, a scene where players can either save a possessed young girl or harvest her for more points, leaving her dead, it's not that difficult to understand where those opposed to fantasy violence are coming from. But the link between fantasy violence and real-life violence is, so far as the law is concerned, more fantasy than reality. Plaintiffs in the past have argued that song lyrics and movies and video games were to blame for episodes of real-life violence, but courts so far have resisted the connection. The facts are incredibly tragic, many still seared on our memories from headlines not so long ago. Some young people shot by a fellow student at a high school in Kentucky, a 13-year-old stabbed by a friend in Connecticut, a teacher killed at Columbine. In each case, surviving loved ones argued that the killers had been spurred to their crimes by exposure to fantasy violence. The theories range from negligence, that those who created the fantasy violence breached a duty they owed to the eventual victims, to strict products liability, that those who create violence should be held responsible for the defective condition of a dangerous product. But courts have found that the creators owe no duty to the unforeseeable victims of real-life crimes, and that there's no provable causation between the product and the ultimate tragedy. As for strict liability, ideas and thoughts aren't products, courts have held, so strict liability doesn't apply. And then there's the First Amendment defense, of course. To quote one court, "We are loath to hold that ideas and images can constitute the tools for a criminal act, or even to attach tort liability to the dissemination of ideas. Courts can regulate speech that's likely to incite immediate lawlessness, but so far they've held that this isn't that sort of thing." Faced with unspeakable tragedy, it's only natural to question whether our violence-saturated culture may be to blame. And yet, at least for now it seems, the answer to that question is not to be found in court. I'm Amy Guida.